Hello, good morning, and welcome to episode 160 of Life Song Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks, along with Phil Ramsey. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
Welcome back this week, Phil.
I got to listen to you a little bit last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Talk about it off air, but
did you learn what you as a Christian should be thankful for?
No, tell me.
There's a lot of things you should be thankful for. Go back and listen to episode 159. But you know what I'm thankful for, Phil? I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful for the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it was one heck of a season, wasn't it?
It was. Those boys should be very proud. I tell you what, we took, I'm going to guess, I'm just going to throw, I'm not good with numbers, as you know, but I'm going to say 1,300 people in the stands.
Man.
Drove out 4 or 5 hours to Cookeville. And it's when you get up there in East Tennessee, it's a whole nother world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, here's my pity party. You ready? It's really not fair. It's not fair. Now, we could have won. Now, I'm not playing that, you know, a victim card. We could have won.
Yeah.
We definitely could have won. Just
well,
didn't go
9 minutes
way.
Left. We're only down three. Mm-hmm. With 9 minutes left in the ball game.
Yeah.
It's 14-17. And, I mean, Covington played well. They you know, they've got some talent on Alcoa's team. Had some, their quarterback is very good. Mm-hmm. And they had some good running. The running back was really good, too. But, man, there were points in the game where we just shut them down. Defensively, we shut them down. And offensively, they couldn't stop us certain points.
Yeah.
Parts of the game. So it was just, you know, the ball, you know, three, like Coach Wheeler said after the game, they played three and a half quarters. Covington played three and a half quarters before things started to fall apart. And that's about right. You know, just could not get back on track after about 9 minutes left in the game. It just kind of got away from them.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a different world when you get up there and there's a lot of, they have a lot of money. From what I understand, they somewhat a lot of recruiting going on. So we don't have that option here. And, the school, I guess, is about the, you know, similar to the same size as Covington. And Covington has, I don't know, between 700 and 800 kids. And you go up there and you look, and they got 100 people on the ball team. So you got 100 boys on the sideline and a 700 to 800 member
school.
And all of them. 9 foot tall and 375 pounds.
Right.
Something just ain't right.
Don't feel right here. That's
I wish they would change it where it would be, I don't know. I guess it's always been this way, but it's really sad.
Yeah.
But Covington ought to be, man, we, after losing to Munford that first game, you're like, well, I guess this is going to be one of those
it's
years.
It's going to be a tough year. And well, then they reeled off 13 in a row.
Oh, it was awesome. So we got a want to just give a shout out to the Covington Chargers for their hard work. Thank the coaching staff for investing, because they don't do it for the money. Investing in the kids' lives. Thankful for the Gridiron Association, which is a big part of the engine behind all of that. And then the fans. The fans are loyal. Win
That's
or
right.
lose, they're there.
That's absolutely right. And one of the best fan bases in all of the state of Tennessee. You know, no matter if there's, you know, they're 2-8 or 13-1, those stands are going to be packed out on Friday nights.
Yeah. Not everybody can say that. That's we're blessed.
That's right.
Great community for football.
That's right.
And relationships. We have a lot of relationships too. I'm out there on the sideline taking pictures. You look up and there's, you know, over 1,000 plus people, and I know 950 of them. So it's pretty.
That's good.
It's cool. But anyway.
Well, we're going to jump back into our study in the book of Hebrews. We wrapped up, we were in chapter 9 last time we were together in Hebrews, and we got through 10, verse 10, and so we're going to pick back up with verse 11 this morning.
All right, let's do that. You want to read it?
I can. I'll read through 14, and we'll talk about it. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For of the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. And I thank you. We thank you every week for your word. But God, it is holy. It is perfect. There's not a mistake or hole in it anywhere. It all fits perfectly together. When you study it, and how it just amazes me how from the Old Testament through the New Testament, it all fits together perfectly. Not one error in it. So God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving it to us. You give it to us so we may know you, so we may know your commandments and your word and your directives on how we should live and how we should be saved. And God, so I thank you. No man will come to salvation outside of your word. So God, I thank you for giving us something so that we may have eternal life through your word. And Lord, we may know you deeper and intimate through your word. So we thank you for that. I thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to stand on your word, to preach your word, to proclaim your word to those listening this morning. God, I pray that through this radio program and through this ministry and platform that you've given us, people will come to know you through the declaration and the proclamation of your gospel, and those who are already saints and adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. Lord, I pray that this morning they will come closer to you. They will spiritually grow in a deeper way. And so I pray that happen. But Lord, above all else, I pray that you are glorified through this morning. It's in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
But when Christ appeared as a high priest, mm-hmm. we're not talking about Jesus in a manger at this point. You know, he became a man. He's wrapped himself in flesh. But when he appeared as a high priest of good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. So Jesus wasn't a high priest while he was on the earth, because if he was, then he would violate his word. So he is a high priest of good things to come. He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Here we have a contrast of an earthly tabernacle with a heavenly tabernacle. Tabernacle. Say that word.
Tabernacle.
Thank you.
You said it.
Not made with hands. So this is better. That is to say, not of this creation and not through the blood of goats. Who's calling you, Jimmy?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Who is that? They got something to add to them?
Yeah.
You want to silence the phone?
I did.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a contrast here. We have a high priest. He entered to a better tabernacle, not made with hands, not of this creation, not of the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That, I mean, I don't know what else you can say about that. He entered once and for all, which means this is a one-time act, never anymore to be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And he accomplished something by this. You know what he accomplished?
What's that?
Redemption.
What kind of redemption?
Eternal redemption.
Mm.
It's done.
That's right.
No more to add.
But why was this necessary for the author of Hebrews to write?
Because you have people, in my opinion, that were going back to some of the things that they had done their whole lives. They're going now. You got. Am I based on what I understand, Jimmy? There's more. There's these. This is a group of people, and we might disagree on this. But there's a group of people who are professing Christians, and some of these people are going back to some of the sacrifices that were going on, and he's telling them it's done once and for all.
Yeah.
Better tabernacle, different priesthood, not from the tribe of Aaron. This is something totally new and better.
Mm-hmm.
So why in the world would you want to go back to the old when the new has come? Why you want to keep looking at the picture when Jesus has arrived on the scene?
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was eternal. It was it's never to be repeated again.
Yeah.
So quit killing sheep.
Listen to this. All over the world, even here in America, we'll go to the graves of our relatives. We'll do a little graveyard work. You ever done that? You ever done a little grave work? You go and you clean it up a little bit. You clean it. You put some flowers out there. You clean, you know, dust and dirt and all that stuff off your headstone. So we'll do that. But guess what? When we do that, we pull the weeds. We dust off the headstone. Does that change what's inside that casket underground? That casket's still full of decay and dead and rot, right?
Yeah.
It's still full of that. So no matter how neat and how clean the grave plot is, how neat and clean the headstone is, it doesn't change the fact that the grave still contains death and decay. It's clean on the outside, but it's not on the inside. And that's what this author is doing. He's telling his audience, he's saying, look, the sacrifices of the Mosaic law, they only clean you externally, but Jesus, his sacrifice, he's what brings inner transformation.
That's a good point, and that's a good way to illustrate it. The sacrifices of the old, only they were ceremonial. When you did this, you were able to keep on living. They were outward and ceremonial.
Yeah.
Redemption in Christ is inward and eternal.
Right.
The old is repeated. Okay, with the new, it's one time, and it lasts forever.
Forever. That's right.
So there's another differences between the two covenants. So let's just keep going here. This is pretty simple. We've actually covered all of this before. It repeats itself a lot, but I think it's good. It says having obtained eternal redemption. So that's done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more to do. So if you think you got something to bring to the table, you can leave it at home. You can't. There ain't no sense in bringing it. It's over. It's done.
Yeah.
For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, to cleanse your conscience. That's so we have here, Jimmy, with Christ, you can have a clear conscience. That's something that these guys could never, ever say and do. You know, when they bring the sacrifice to the temple, like the law says to do, you know, and the priest, they bring that. The sacrifice happens. The priest does his work. And just for a minute second, they felt pretty good about their conscience until they walked away from the temple. And Johnny saw Miss Susie walking down the dirt road looking good. And then he, in his mind, committed adultery. Guess what he had to do?
Mm-hmm.
He had to kill enough sheep.
That's right.
So it a constant guilt. But now, through Christ, the sin not only is atoned for, it's actually removed. So that's why you can have a clear conscience.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, and this right here, you know what this text reminds me of? What? It reminds me of that song, Nothing But the Blood.
Go on, sing it for us.
No, I can't.
I know you can't do it.
But Jesus poured his blood out. right? His blood poured out from his body and it seeped into the ground, Phil. So we're not to understand or think or believe that Jesus took his blood into heaven. He didn't. He poured every bit of it out at the cross and it dripped into the earth. And it was by that fact and that virtue that he entered heaven, having accomplished salvation by the sacrifice of himself. It was in that bloodless, glorified human body, which is an eternal testimony that sin is paid for. And that's how he entered heaven, without any blood going into heaven, because it was all poured out onto this earth for us. Mm. And so, Phil, how would you summarize this section?
Well, when Christ came,
he appeared.
He appeared. And what he came to do, he did.
That's right.
What he came to do.
He appeared as a high priest.
Yeah. When he came to earth, wrapped himself up in flesh, he wasn't coming to fix something that went wrong. So that's the big part about all of this. And this is when I sit back and I say, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. When you see redemption play out in the Bible, and you see it start in Genesis, and you see it play all the way out, you know, a lot of times we think God's really sitting up there trying to fix some stuff that done went wrong.
Yeah. I guess we get that misconception because we look at what God did with Adam and he cursed him for sinning. We think, oh, it didn't go according to God's plan, so he came in and he cursed Adam and all of mankind. And then we look later on in Genesis at the flood and God starting over. Man. And we say, oh, he screwed up, so he wants to start over. Look, this was all in the plan of God before the foundation of the world was ever even laid. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I thank God all the time for his perfect plan and his perfect word, because it all fits together like a perfect puzzle. There's nothing missing. There's no mistakes or anything. It all fits together from the old to the new, just how he intended for it to.
You're absolutely right. And it's a perfect plan. We talk about the old covenant and the Mosaic law, the Levitical system, and how things operate. We're under a different covenant today. The old covenant was types and shadows.
Yeah.
Just pictures of something better. And to watch it play out with the law, with sacrifices, preparing for something better in the old, many, many thousands, if not millions, of sacrifice. In the new covenant, one sacrifice. In the old covenant, in the past, many high priests, because they kept dying. In the new covenant, one high priest that never dies.
Let me say this, Phil. You say, and we've used this illustration kind of sort of in the past, but you're a photographer, right? And so the old is a picture of the new, right? So you take pictures every day of actual people. When the people come in, you take a photograph of them. They want to remember, so they want to be able to remember them. But when the actual person is there, are they going to look at the photograph, or are they going to look at the person that's actually there? So that's what you look at, a real person, and you take a picture. But what's better? Well, the real person, because the real person pays you.
Check this out. Years ago, my claim to fame in my own mind was photographing Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Years ago.
It took you years to quit talking about it. You just recently stopped.
Let's start it. Let's get the ball rolling again. But I remember we were hired, my dad and myself was hired several years ago to photograph Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Is that how it sounds?
Yeah. Morgan Freeman.
But we said, they told us to be, it was at the Peabody up in a bedroom on the sixth floor, a little small room. And they said, well, Morgan will be here at 11, so y'all arrive at 10:30. And then the producer of the documentary that it was for like public television. And said, y'all get here at 10:30 and we'll tell you what we want you to do. And Morgan will be here at 11. And so I walk in, I go to that room at the Peabody. I open the door guess who's the first person I saw?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
He's already there.
They done a ride a little early.
Yeah.
But anyway, I opened the door, I was like, boom, you know, there's Morgan Freeman right there. So we took his pictures, and it was pretty neat. But Jimmy, what if you came up in the room, and I had printed some off right there on the spot, and you walked into that first section, and I said, look here, Jimmy, here's a picture of Morgan Freeman. But he was sitting over there on the couch. Are you going to sit there and look at the picture when Morgan Freeman's on the couch?
No.
You're not going to come over, oh, this is a great picture, Phil. I like how you did the lighting. I said, but Jimmy's on the couch. I know that, Phil, but look at the picture.
Yeah.
See, look, the old covenant is a picture of Christ. Yeah. Don't look at them. Behold the Lamb of God.
See, before it was a picture to prepare you for the coming of Christ. Now Christ has come. Look to him. Look to him. You don't have to look for him. You can look to him.
Yeah, these are types and shadows of Christ. There is no substance in the shadow. When Christ comes, you can stack up all the shadows you want. They're going to equal zero.
Mm-hmm.
So shadows were pictures of the coming Christ. So our message to you is don't miss Christ.
Yeah.
Don't miss Christ. Don't miss the substance. Many of these folks in the old covenant or in times past, they stuck with a picture.
Yeah.
And if they never came on to Christ, well, I got bad news for you. They're separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to come to Christ. You yeah. have to. So anyway, that was my little, telling you about that little illustration there. That's actually a true story about Morgan Freeman. But yeah. did I tell you also, Jimmy, I photographed Duck Dynasty, Phil Robertson. Did I tell you?
Yeah, that's your new story. That and Kirk Cameron. Those are your.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron. And anyway, the Word of God, Jimmy, it's just so perfect. And you really, when you get in the Old Testament and look at how redemption was laid out all the way to the new, and you just sit back in awe about what God has done for his glory.
Yeah.
You know, if you could sum it up in one word, I'm going to say glory. He does everything for his glory, doesn't he?
And he takes his glory seriously.
Don't try to rob his glory either,
no,
by the way.
No, but the glory of God is the motivation of God. So God takes his glory very seriously, and there's a lot wrapped up in his glory. And let me tell you something. That's where maybe the modern American church has gotten us so jacked up, I think, today, is man is not the motivation or even the center of God's glory. We're not. We're how God gets glory. God can get glory through us, but we're not the motivation of his glory. Himself and his Son are the motivation of his glory.
That's true. And I was reading the most familiar verse in the world, John 3:16 the other day, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. Love it. Agape love, the way God loves, it's a choice.
That's right.
It's a choice. Jimmy hadn't done anything to deserve God's love.
Nope.
You're not very lovable. I'm not lovable either.
Mm-mm.
There's nothing. Humans can't do anything to deserve or merit God's love.
That's right.
It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Agape love.
So God doesn't love you, Phil, because you're lovable or that you're lovely, because you're not. Just like you just said, you're not. There's nothing lovable about you. There's nothing lovely about you. God loves you.
You hurt me.
Well, that's true. Truth hurts sometimes, Bubba. But God loves you because his Son is worthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he loves you.
Yeah.
And his glory is glorious.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good word, Jimmy. Very good word.
Mm-hmm. It's been a good show. We could talk and spend probably 5 Sundays on the blood of Jesus or the glory of God or the love of God. I mean, these are deep topics. So just to scratch over the surface doesn't really do justice to any of them. But we must move on.
Yeah, if we go any further, I think verse 15, we kind of opened up some more things. If we got started in that, we probably would never get be able to accomplish in the time we have left.
That's right.
So the word is, come to Christ. Come to Christ.
That's right.
Come to the finished work of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ now, the great high priest.
Yeah, that's good.
He was the sacrifice. He entered through the tabernacle. He's the great high priest. He sits at the right hand. Why? Because redemption is through.
It's finished.
But every so often you say, oh, Jesus, stand up on his feet.
And intercede for his people.
Intercede for his people. So
right.
Can you say that, listener? Is Jesus interceding on your behalf? I know we beat that drum, but man, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that you have a high priest? Do you have a mediator? You can. Believe.
Repent and believe.
That's it.
Jesus came, wrapped himself in flesh. He came and he lived a spotless, blemish-free life. No blemish on his life. No screw-up, no sin ever committed in the 33 and a half years that Jesus walked this earth. And there was a reason for that. So he could be the sacrifice.
Yeah.
So he could be the propitiation of our sin.
Jimmy, that's huge what you just said. That is huge. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. We're talking about sacrifices.
Yeah.
The animal had to be perfect. Jesus had to be perfect. Listen, Jimmy, you have to be perfect.
That's right.
And you fall short.
Every day.
And you need a Savior. Perfection is what's required.
That's God's requirement, is perfection.
So if you're going to go to heaven, you got to be perfect.
Or the one that was sacrificed on your behalf has to be perfect, just like the lamb that was sacrificed for the sins, you know, on the altar for the sins of the people to atone for their sins for another year on the Day of Atonement. Just like that lamb had to be without blemish, so too did the Lamb of the world, the Lamb of God, have to be perfect. If there's no perfect, no perfection, there's no sacrifice. Jesus, his blood was spilt out from the cross, and it is not effective for anybody unless his life was sinless.
All right. He died for our sins, but he lived a perfect life, and now he gives us righteousness based on what he did.
That's right.
And he's the only one that can do it.
Amen.
And if you don't come to him, now you got to go and stand before the great white throne and plead your case. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're guilty before you even get there.
That's right.
So come to Christ today.
You know, we talked about it earlier. Jesus didn't enter heaven with his blood. He didn't enter heaven all his blood was spilt out to cover us. So if you're covered by the blood of Jesus, when you enter heaven, you don't enter under your own name. You enter heaven under the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is pled for you because it was spilt out. He didn't take it with him. He left it here for all of those who would ever believe.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Man, I got goosebumps, Phil.
I see it. Well, look, Jimmy, we're going to pick back up with verse 15 next week and kind of go in a different direction a little bit. And it was a good show today. I just pray for our listeners out there, if you don't know Christ, that you come to him. Are you thirsty? Come to him.
That's right.
Are you hungry?
Bread of life.
Bread of life.
Living water.
Never to thirst again.
That's right.
And you can do that today. Just turn from your sins, repent, and believe he is who God said he was.
That's right. He lived, died, and because God was pleased with the sacrifice that he made on the cross, he raised him again the third day. So the sacrifice is not a sacrifice without the resurrection.
Man. It's a must.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's pray, and we'll close. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you were the final sacrifice. We just thank you that because of what you did, and we put our faith and trust in you, that we can live on this earth with a clear conscience. We thank you that you have adopted us into your family. And because we've been adopted, we are heirs, heirs to everything you have given the Son. We're also thankful that once we're adopted, we can't be unadopted. Lord, we thank you for that security. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for the inheritance. And all we can do is just cry out, thank you, Abba, Father, for what you've done. Oh, you are glorious. You are worthy. Worthy of our praise, the Lamb of God who came to take away sin. Lord, we just thank you. Just pray for our, the people listening today that you just work in their lives, that your Holy Spirit just begin to, if they're lost, convict them of sin, Lord. And if they're, they are walking away from you or in a bad place, Lord, that you'll just use people to bring them back to you in the right fellowship with you. Again, we thank you, and we just give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we'll see you back here next week. Don't forget the website, lifesongradio.com. If you missed any portion of today's show or if you missed any of the previous weeks, you can catch all the replays there at lifesongradio.com. We'll see you next week right back here for another edition of Life Song Radio.
Does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? We throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more.